it, and it's a transformational time in the history of the world. So I would like to just take a few minutes, and we don't have that many, but just think through this, get some background, and then just take maybe some application. Maybe just stir your mind up, because I think it's probably next Sunday morning, before you come to Sunday school, we're going to read Acts chapter 13, if you're following along in our church reading plan. And so between now and then, your mind will work some, and possibly you'd be able to meditate and get some other ideas from this passage as we come up to it. So Paul and Barnabas, we're in Acts now. We're flying through the Bible. Up until September, it seemed like it was taking a long time to get through the Old Testament, and now we're through all the Gospels. And this week, well, we're not through all. Tomorrow, we finish John, and then we're into Acts. And it won't take us long. We're in November. We'll be done with the Bible by the end of December. But anyway, so in this chapter, chapter 13, the beginning of chapter 13 is when the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit said to the church in Antioch to separate Paul and Barnabas and send them on the work that he had called them to. And so Paul and Barnabas are sent from Antioch. This is the Antioch in Syria, close to the coast of the Mediterranean. And Antioch was a church with many Grecians in it. If you check the Bible, it calls them Grecians. You remember there were Grecians in the church in Jerusalem. They were the ones that complained about the apostles not giving their widows as much attention as the others. Okay, and then with the persecution of Saul, much of the church dispersed, and they went up, and many of them went up to Antioch where there were many Grecians. And so it's a Grecian church. It's a Jewish church, but with a lot of Hellenistic Jews. The history tells us there was 100,000 Jews in the city of Antioch. So there would be many synagogues there. And so they are not as diehard like Jewish like the Pharisees, because there's all this Grecian element, but they are a Jewish church. And we see that as we continue to read in Acts 13. So Paul and Barnabas go to Cyprus. Cyprus was the island that Barnabas was from. And they begin at one end and they work their way across. The Bible tells us they preached the gospel in the synagogues as they went across Cyprus. When they get to the other side, there's a Gentile, the Roman governor of some sort, Sergius Paulus, who hears about this, all the stuff going on, and he wants to hear the gospel. You remember the story? So Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul, go and talk to Sergius Paulus, and in the midst of that, there's this Jewish spiritual advisor, Elymas, or there's another name for him, and he opposes the gospel. Paul strikes him with blindness, a temporary blindness, and Sergius Paulus believes. They leave Cyprus and go north across the water to Asia Minor, which is today's Turkey. And there, when they land there, John Mark departs and goes back to Jerusalem. And then they head up the hard road to Antioch of Pisidia. So this is a different Antioch. There was over a dozen cities called Antioch in the ancient world. And so they're in Antioch of Pisidia, and there Paul preaches in the synagogue, as he always did, and as he continued to do after this point in time. But he preaches in the synagogue as normal, and I want to pick up that the end of his sermon in verse 38. So in verse 38, he's finished basically telling the Jews there about Jesus. This is news. Who Jesus is, what he is, and what he has said here is shown to them, that to the Jews, that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that they've been looking for, and that they should receive and believe on. And so he says in verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now these Gentiles mentioned right here are God-fearers. They are already in the synagogue. They're people who went to the synagogue anyway because they believed in God. Now we see the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together. Now that's not all God-fearers. The city is a pagan city. So almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And envy is an awful thing. You act stupid when you're envious. Let's just simply put. But they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And this is our text for the lesson this morning. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So, here we are. The first sermon recorded that for us of Paul, the first of Paul's sermons recorded, and it's a sermon that Paul preaches to a Jewish audience. And we just read the last of it. I want to just think of a couple things in this phrase. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. First, let's think about light. Light is a symbol of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It's a symbol of God's favor when he sheds his light on people. It's a symbol of God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a symbol of salvation. The gospel coming to people is light. As we see here, it's a symbol of Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. So there's a lot to think about there just with that word light. But the phrase here is a little more particular. He says, a light of the Gentiles. So a light of the Gentiles, Isaiah uses this phrase. In Isaiah 42, and I've copied and pasted the passages here, so you probably won't turn to them. But in Isaiah 42, verse 6, God says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Now, in this passage in Isaiah, God is speaking to what he calls my servant. As we continue through Isaiah, we find that my servant is the Messiah. It's somebody, and as the Bible progresses, we see that the Messiah sits on David's throne and all this. There's this progressive development of how God is going to save his people all the way from Genesis chapter 3. But here in Isaiah, my servant, I'm going to make you for a light, give thee for a covenant of the people. That would probably be his own people, the people of Israel, and for a light of the Gentiles. Isaiah 49, verse 6 is where we actually, this passage in Acts is quoting from. And it's interesting here, I've emphasized the word when we read it in Acts, but listen here. And he said, God, again, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel? So is that a light thing? I'm also going to do this. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So God is saying to his Messiah, to his servant, right? He's saying this to his Messiah, to his servant, that he would give his Messiah as a light to the Gentiles, to be salvation to the ends of the earth. In Isaiah 60, verse 3, the Bible says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light," speaking about the Messiah again, "and kings to the brightness of thy rising." This is not an unknown, this is not an obscure thing in the Old Testament, at least not to the New Testament writers. Luke tells us that when baby Jesus came to the temple, Simeon saw him. And in Luke 2:32, in the midst of what Simeon says, he says about baby Jesus that he is a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So Simeon, a believer, a saint who studied the scriptures, he knew what Isaiah was saying, and he used that phrase. He used that, a light to the Gentiles, about Jesus Christ. So he's identifying this baby is the Messiah. Jesus himself used this phrase somewhat, or this idea. The interesting thing here is that the Messiah, and it's not interesting to us. In fact, we rejoice in it. We rejoice greatly in it. We don't even know that we rejoice in it. But the interesting thing is that God would send his light to Gentiles. We don't understand the magnitude of that, because we are Gentiles and we've received the light and we rejoice in the light and live in the light for 2,000 years. But when God is saying this, it doesn't register. We see this in the Gospels. Jesus said to his disciples, "They're going to kill me." But they were all shocked when they killed him. Right? So, and you have said stuff to your children that went right over their heads. Like, they didn't get that. Well, this idea of light going to the Gentiles did not register with people unless they were finally greatly in tune with God, like a man like Simeon. Anyway, Jesus uses this idea, talks about it. Think of Matthew 5:14 in the Sermon on the Mount, presented to us at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He says to the people, who are the people sitting in front of him? They're all Jews. And he says, ye are the light of the world. It's almost like that would have been convicting if they received it, because they weren't being a light of the world. They were sitting there in their place. They weren't going to share God with anybody. The God was their God, and they didn't want anything like this. But Jesus was saying, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Then he says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you read through John, the Apostle John uses the idea of life and light throughout. We see that right in John chapter 1 and all the way through into 1 John. So Isaiah says that the Messiah, God's servant, would be a light of the Gentiles. Jesus said that the Jews were supposed to be a light to the world, and that, of course, includes Gentiles. Then Jesus says, I am the light of the world, which includes Gentiles. But Paul here in 13 says, for so the Lord commanded us. He commanded us. So the command was to the Messiah, right? What he's quoting from is God speaking to my servant, the Messiah. But Paul says, the Lord commanded us. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. What Paul understood, and what we have to be reminded of, myself included, over and over again, that once you are Christ's follower, you are his ambassador. Once you've believed on Christ, you are now the light. He is the light of the world, but you are appointed to be a light to the Gentiles, to be salvation to the ends of the earth. And so, some quick applications. First, we are to, and I've already said the second one, but we are to walk in the light. Thinking of light, Think of this. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So we're to walk in the light. 1 John 1 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And so, we have received the light. The light of the glorious gospel has shined in our hearts. I mean, this idea of light is throughout the Bible. I don't have the time but the light has shined in our hearts, and we're to walk in that light. And then we are to show forth that light. It has shined in our hearts, and we're to show forth that light, which is what Paul is saying he was doing there. Philippians 2:15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And then, I didn't put the reference, but this is 2 Corinthians, I think, 4. "For God, who commanded the light to..." Yes, 4 or 6. "Who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts." Why has he shined in our hearts? So to give, he shined it in us, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here in this event in Antioch, the gospel is given to the world. Before this, there were certain instances where Gentiles believed. We understood there's a big... I'm not trying to lighten the thing that happened with Cornelius, but that was an individual thing. After Cornelius, people left Jerusalem and they spoke to people in synagogues, to Grecians. Paul here says, okay, you deemed yourself unworthy. We're taking the light. We're taking the gospel to the Gentiles. "For so the Lord commanded us..." So it's like the light, to use the word in a different way, it's like the light bulb came in his head. This isn't just for the Jews. It hasn't ever been just for the Jews. This command that I'm seeing is for me, was given way back in Isaiah. I, and then us, we are to be a light to the Gentiles. Of course, we are Gentiles, but we're to be a light to the Gentile, light of the Gentiles. Why? "That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." We are, and you know, the Bible is just all around this. We're to bring salvation, the light of the gospel, to the ends of the earth. And so, just these few words this morning. Hopefully, we can think about them some more as we approach the passage in Acts, as we hear different sermons and preaching, and the Bible, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings his word to our mind. It can be a challenge to us, and to make sure that we are spreading the light, that we are a light, and that we're walking in the light. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for